Maybe, well, to jump right into, I guess, some questions. The first time I met you, I asked you some question at the event. It was back in Toronto, and then you told me you did like 400 plus deals in 2 years. Then I was like, what is that? How does that work? How can you, like, I'm in the process of making my first two deals, but it's taking forever. So I guess, when you started, did you have like a master plan on, okay, I'm gonna do 400 deals in 2 years, here's how it's gonna work? Or you started deal by deal, and then as it went, you're like, oh, and then you picked it up more and more. I guess, how did it start?
Well, I didn't forecast doing any specific number of deals ahead of time. I had the fortune of really building my momentum at the start of the pandemic. And out here in Atlantic Canada, in the first 5 or 6 months of the pandemic, the general consensus from a lot of people in real estate was that the market was going to crash. So everyone was trying to sell properties at a discount, you know, and I was buying like duplexes, like two units for $30,000. And they're like, yes, please take my property. And the reason I was able to scale is because I had partners, and partnerships are the way to do it. Because if you've got a partner, you've got easy and immediate access to capital. And one of the challenges with closing, especially if you're going with traditional financing, is that the banks take forever. And all it does is it slows everything down. So the best way to do it really is to have a business partner who has access to ample amounts of capital. And that goes into your negotiation as well. Let's say, look, you know, I'm closing cash. I'll offer probably less than anyone else, but I can close tomorrow. And I'm no bullshit. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not going to give you all these, you know, 1,001 conditions. A lot of times I won't even bring an inspector in. I'll just bring my contractor in to, you know, build the scope of work, make sure it's, you know, a deal that makes sense financially for me. And if everything works out, great, let's close. Lawyers are already on standby, ready to go, and we just churn and burn deals. And that's how I was able to build that momentum in order to close deals that quickly. If I
I
was
see.
going with traditional financing or having to get hard money lenders chasing the money after every deal, there's no way I could even come close to that many deals in that time. It's just, there's not enough time. So you have to structure yourself from the get-go in the correct way in order to be able to pull that off. And I had the benefit of doing it at the right time. It's a lot harder today to be able to close that many deals, that many good deals, simply because you're not going to find that many good deals on the market over a 2 year span. So I just had the benefit of timing, and that's how the numbers came out. But the ultimate premise behind it works in any market. Start with the partnership and then start hunting.
So good, and basically you're ahead of my questions further down, which is like there's a lot of deals, but then the conventional financing versus maybe private money lender or partners. When you say partners, do you mean private money lenders or literally someone that will invest with you in the deal? Let's say they provide the cash, and then let's say you do the work, more like that, right?
Yeah, pretty much that exactly. When you have partnerships, the way I typically structure it is I have the financing partner, and their only job is to come up with the money. That's all they do. And then I'm the operating partner or managing partner, depending how you want to look at it. And I'm responsible to find a deal, manage a deal, and provide that return on investment. So, you
I
know, if
see.
we're looking to flip a deal, for example, I'm responsible to make sure that we turn it and, you know, turn it around very quickly in order for us to be able to sell it and give the return, you know, within, you know, a 3 to 6 month time frame, typically. If we're looking to hold the asset, then I'm responsible to not only stabilize the asset and meet all the criteria of the bank. And that's where we're bringing bank financing, where they basically refinance the investor out and we hold on to the asset cash flow. And then we repurpose the investor's capital to another deal again, again, and again. So different partners will have, you know, different criteria, different requirements. And your job as the managing partner or operating partner is to build a portfolio in line with what your finance partner wants. So the more diversified you are as an individual and the more access to deals you have, the more variety of investment partners you have, and the more you can take advantage of the market that's around you.
I see. Because ultimately, they bring the money. So the deals you look at, they're going to have to be happy with. They're going to have to be comfortable with the asset. Like you mentioned duplex or so I guess you may have your preference, but because they bring the money, that's you kind of allow yourself to look at those deals more.
Correct. So what I typically do is I'll have a very wide net that's going to bring in all kinds of different opportunities. And then it's my job to evaluate them and sort them out and decide, okay, which partner do I present these deals to? So there will be some partners who have no interest in something as small as a duplex. They're looking for long-term holds for, you know, 20, 30 doors or more per asset. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But then it's up to me to be able to start delivering on those opportunities. So if my net is only designed to catch small multi-unit properties like a duplex, and I never catch the big ones, I'm not going to be able to hold on to that partner. And you're just leaving money on the table at that point, literally, because they've got the capital on standby. And if they're setting funds aside for your investments, it's your job to deliver on that. You've got to go out and hunt. Mm-hmm. And that is where the majority of your effort is, especially when you're getting started, is building those relationships that are going to bring those deals into your portfolio.
Hmm. Beautiful. When you say partner, and let's say for those who are not familiar with the terms, it one partner could be the equivalent of, I guess, an investor, right? When you raise capital, but the difference is you have one investor for a deal. Is that equivalent? Like when people say, okay, I'm going to raise capital to investors, a partner could be one investor, basically.
Correct. Yeah. So typically the way that works is I set up a corporation here in Canada. It could be, you know, whether you do an S Corp or C Corp in the US, that really depends on your circumstance. But here in Canada, we set up a corporation. The investment partner and I are equal shareholders in a corporation. So we both own equal shares in it. And that corporation is the entity that purchases the properties. So they become equal shareholders. And as a result, they get an equal profit share. And that's the fundamentals behind it. Now, you can vary that a little bit depending on the partner. If you're starting off and you're elevating yourself to the next tier, like, for example, if you got a couple of partners that have a few hundred thousand each, but now you're upgrading to having a partner that's got 2.5 million, you might have to give them a bigger piece of the pie at the beginning, just a bit, until you prove yourself, essentially. And then once you start delivering, then you can balance yourself and get more of a 50-50 share. Again, that's something you negotiate with the investment partner. But typically, how I did it is I went with a single partner in every deal. It's a lot easier to manage, and it helps manage your scaling because you don't want to get too big too fast. So you need something to slow you down. And if I'm limited by the capital capabilities of my partner, that's what slows me down. That's what manages it. But it does it in a very easy way because it's one phone call, one partner, and it's only one person to manage over the course of the deal. So when you're syndicating deals, for example, and you might have, let's say, 50 or 100 people putting money in, well, you're babysitting 50 or 100 people. And there's always going to be a small number of them that are going to be nothing but a pain in the butt the whole time. And you've got to babysit them on top of manage the asset. You're just adding more work for yourself, especially when you scale. If you've only got one partner and you've got a great working relationship, a lot of times they don't even want updates. They might just say, call me when it's ready to sell. Let me know when I'm making money. Because they don't want to know the day-to-day stuff. At their net worth, they don't care about it. They don't want to hear that there's a toilet problem. Just fix it. They don't want to know about that. They just want to know when is the big check coming in. And the second they make their money, the next question is, where's the next deal? Because they don't want to leave that money on the table. They want to redeploy. So it's like someone who's hungry and is never satisfied, you know, is never properly fed. So you're the chef in the kitchen and you've got to make all these meals for someone that is always hungry. And that's what these investors are. So it all comes down to how aggressive you are and the network that you build in order to bring the deals in. And your investment partners are going to see that. And that's why they want to invest with you. They're going to see you're hungry and you're always on the hunt. They're going, I want to invest with that guy because he doesn't quit. That is what you really have to sell to these investment partners.
I love that a lot. What do you offer them? So would you be looking at like zero down on your end, so they buy the asset essentially, like the
other they're partner. Responsible for 100% of the funding, especially when you're starting off. Okay. So let's say you start off and you have no capital, which is essentially how I started off. Okay, so I had no money, so now all I can bring is my knowledge, my work ethic, my expertise. That's all I've got. So I'm having to put a lot of time and effort in. All they need to do is write the check. So when I first started off, I started at much lower dollar amounts. Basically, everything was under $1 million because I wasn't comfortable at the time taking millions of dollars having never done a deal. And to be honest, a lot of investment partners probably want to invest with you if you haven't done anything before. Start small, right. Be realistic. But yeah. As long as you've got the work ethic, give it 6 months to a year, you're going to be ready for those $1 million plus deals at that point, because you're going to have enough deals under your belt, and you go from a $400,000 or $500,000 deal up to $1 million. It's not really that huge of a jump. The problems don't change all that much in that scale. So you scale as your partners scale, and you'll be able to get bigger partners once they see what the smaller partners are getting. And that's what you advertise. And always remember that once you start delivering for that partner, don't be afraid to ask them for introductions to some of their network, because chances are their friends are all more or less on equivalent scale of wealth. And when they start talking to their friends about the returns you're able to deliver, their friends are going to want to meet you, because now they're going to be coming to you saying, hey, I've got X amount of dollars. How can I invest with you? Now you've got too much money, not enough deals. And welcome to my problem.
Kind of a cool position. Different problem, but
it's a different problem. But you've got a whole bunch of hungry children. As I look at them, they want their candy now, and then it's up to you to somehow deliver, and you're at the mercy of the market, because you don't manufacture the deals like you manufacture a product in a factory, right? You're limited by what's in the market. So it's up to you to find the deals and find them first. And really that comes down to relationships.
I love it. And it may have cut slightly when you first answered the question, when I asked if they essentially you would have no money down at first. Did you say yes? For small deals, the partner will 100% finance the project.
Correct. Okay. And that really comes down to the negotiation you have with the partner. So before you take anyone's money, you need to make sure that you really know what you're doing. Because if you don't have money yourself to compensate them, your first deal has to be a home run of a deal. It has to be really that good. You need to know your numbers. You need to know the market. You need to know who's going to be involved in the deal, like whether it be contractors, whether it be inspectors to provide permits, whatever you need to get it done. You have to set that up effectively in order to guarantee that you're able to provide that return to them, because you don't have a fallback position yourself. So you need to go above and beyond. And because you're considered higher risk, you might have to give a bigger piece of the pie to the investor, but that's okay because it's your first deal. And once you close your first deal, now you've just started building a track record, and you can leverage that in your negotiations with additional partners in the future.
Beautiful. Do you look at a 50-50 split? Like, as you said, you each own 50% of the company. So in the early days, you would be doing the work, like almost like the GP on the deal, and then 50-50 for when it sells or refinance.
So that's essentially how I did it from the get-go. I mean, the first couple of deals I did, I went with traditional hard money lenders. I hadn't built a partnership model at the time, and it was an absolute pain to close. So I learned my lesson the hard way, essentially going, okay, this is not going to work for me. The benefit to me, though, is that because I went that route, by the time I got a partner, I'd already closed two deals. So when I got my first partner, I already had the track record. So I went 50-50 right out the gate. If you don't have that, and you don't want to deal with the headache of hard money lenders, then you might have to give maybe 70-30 in favor of the investor just to be able to bring them on board. Just don't give everything to the investor, because if you're not making money, then what's your motivation to deliver? Right. Yeah. So make sure that you're making enough money where the investor is going to see, okay, I can see their motivation, because I know they have no money. I know they need that paycheck. So I know they're going to do whatever they can to get that paycheck. And the moment they get paid, I get the big bucks. So that's what you really need to pass on to the investor, at least initially. And once you got the track record, then you're golden. Now you've got momentum, and people are going to want to jump on that train with you, because they have no idea how long you're going to last. Like, man, this guy's amazing. He might decide to give up after 3 years because he made so much money, he wants to retire. I want to jump on this train now and milk this opportunity as long as I can. And that's when everyone starts jumping on. And if you choose to never quit, that train goes on for years, and they're going to love you for it.
I love it. Man, that is all really good. Natural progression of this conversation, even though I had other questions, but this is better. So those investors or partners, how would you go about, you know, getting those relationships earlier? Right. I know the branding helps, but presumably you didn't have much branding at the time.
Yeah, my branding was very limited. I mean, I did have a couple of photos with celebrities, thanks to JT at the very beginning, but it wasn't all that much compared to what I have now. So it really comes down to selling yourself. And that starts with education. And it's not just attending a seminar. It's getting properly trained and coached in real estate to make sure that when you're having a conversation with an investor and they ask questions, you can answer and keep going on and on and on to the point where they're going, okay, you know what? I've heard enough. Just take my money. Clearly, you know what you're talking about. You need to be educated to that degree. And it's not only, you know, knowing your numbers. It's not only the market. It's not only having the team established. You need to yourself be so confident that you can deliver on this. And that's where you sell your first investor. And you really meet them, not so much at the real estate meetups or places like that, because everyone you meet there is exactly like you. They're all looking for money. No one with real money goes there, because they're just going to get hounded by everyone the moment that the word gets out that they have money. So you don't typically go there. You want to go to where they are. So what do wealthy people do, right? Whether you're going to golf country clubs, where you're going to car meetups, where you got a lot of people driving exotic cars. That's how I did it. You know, people are driving Ferraris and all these high-end cars. Well, I can't afford those, but I did have a sports car. So I was able to be a part of that and then get into that conversation and tell them, okay, yeah, well, for example, I'd already connected with JT. At the time, I'd already planned on going to South Africa to speak on stage. I had not done that yet, but I was already booked and ready to go. And when you start saying these things, especially, you know, in Canada, where a lot of people tend to not go above and beyond, like not like in the States, in Canada, whenever you start doing these exciting things, ultimately the question comes up, well, who are you? And what do you do? Oh, I'm in real estate. And this is what I do. Now they're going, okay, well, I'd be interested in getting to know you. Can I share my phone number? Or can I get your phone number? And then you start building a relationship. And then that's when you start, you know, that conversation where, hey, I'm looking to get out the gates. I'm looking to close my first deal. This is my background. This is what I know. Here's who I have behind me. Here's who I have advising me. So I have a coach who's done X amount of deals. I have this coach who's done this amount of deals. You know, connected this, to this realtor, to this contractor, this and this. Here's everything I put together. I'm looking for a partner to get started, and I'm willing to give more to that partner, more than my fair share or more to their fair share, in order to build that relationship. Because for me, the first deal is not what matters. I want to make sure we get to 100, but we're not going to get there unless we start with one. So I'm willing to give you a larger piece to show you who I am and what I can deliver. And that's how you sort of deliver it. And all it takes is one person to take a chance on you, and then it's up to you to deliver. And once you do, then they're going to start doubling down on you. And then that starts to spread to other people as they talk to their network. Because when they talk to their friends, hey, I made tons of money with this guy, their friends are going to be going, well, can I meet this guy? Because if he's making you a ton of money, I want to play that game too. And that's how you start building that network. And it just spreads. Word of mouth among the wealthy is one of the best ways to build that that circle.
Everything is rings so true. So those investors or partners, do you or at first, now I'm sure you have a network of them, and you're, as you said, you would bring different opportunities to, you know, to different investors depending on what you know, like they like. But early on, would you have like a couple of relationships only, or one partner that you do like the first 10 deals with if possible? Or you have like a couple partners at the same time?
Well, I mean, that's a case by case. If you're struggling trying to find a partner and you suddenly manage to find one, start with one. Eventually, you'll end up with more. And if you need to do 10 deals before they start telling their friends, or before you're able to meet a second one, then so be it. There's nothing wrong with just having one partner. But if you have the opportunity to have multiple partners, if you network with 100 people and three people said, yes, I want to do business with you, you don't turn two away and say, sorry, I only want to work with one. You don't do that.
Sure.
You find ways to work with all three.
Right.
So it really depends on the circumstance. There's no wrong way to do it. Just whatever opportunity comes in front of you, you need to jump on it. And don't worry if you only get one now, you'll get more later. So you don't have to start with three. And often starting with too many is not a good idea, because if you're just starting off, you're not going to have the deal flow to satisfy three, four, five people. So keep that in mind. because the last thing you want to do is disappoint your financial investors. You want to make sure that they're always happy. And it takes sometimes a lot of deals, especially once they start adding money into the pot, because they might tell you, I only want to do 200,000 to start. And then once you start delivering, well, now here's 1.5 million. Now you're starting to sweat going, how am I going to deliver on 1.5 million? Right? Imagine if that is stressing you out. Imagine if you had three partners who said the same thing. Now you're disappointing a whole bunch of people. You don't want to be in that position. So don't be so concerned if you're only getting one. That's okay. What you need to focus on is getting that first deal closed. That's the only thing that's in your mind. Mm-hmm. Same thing when I got started. It was my first deal. I wasn't thinking 400 deals. I wasn't even thinking two. I was thinking, let me just close this one. Prove that I can actually do it. And now that I've done it, let me show that I can do it again. And then once you start building that pattern, now you can start thinking about scaling.
Beautiful. I love how this is so much more agile. Like, I'm closing a deal with CMHC right now. It's been 7 months. It's a 1.5 million building. But then I'm like, that when I heard you, like literally, it was my first, and I'm like, he's done 400. How can now? It's like, I see, right? This is the path. And then I knew investors would have to be involved to scale this, then start to look into syndication. But then again, yes, it's as if you have like 20 clients that you need to give updates to. You need to have the contracts, all the paperwork. And it's like, you need to have a big machine to have that running. But now I get it, right? You have strong relationships with people that, you know, one partner, two partners, do those deals and like be fast. So cool. We're already here. Can you go a little bit more still? Do you have time?
I can, yeah. I got a few more minutes, yeah.
Okay, a little bit more. So the deals, so you said you started in the pandemic. It was a bit of it was a different market. Not branded to know when you have like a lunar really good deal, right? Something you can get at a low price. What was some, or I guess, what would you do today that's the $1 million question, right? To get those deals.
The fundamental principle behind it is the same. It really comes down to relationships. The common misconception is that real estate has nothing really to do with property. It all comes down to relationships.
Yeah.
So you need to be building relationships with absolutely everybody. And it's not just realtors. That's a common mistake a lot of beginner investors do. It's all going to get to know a bunch of realtors. No, because to the realtors, you're just another investor. And if you haven't done deals yet, they're not going to be sending you the better deals. They're going to send their deals to the investors that have done 30, 40, 50 deals with them. Okay. So you're not going to be at the top of anybody's list. So you need to get a little bit more creative. So you need to be getting in touch with, you know, mortgage brokers. You need to get in touch with lawyers, get in touch with contractors, landscapers. You need to build relationships with absolutely everybody. And you'd be surprised how quickly people start almost working for you when they bring you an opportunity that is a valid opportunity and you give them a bit of a kickback. Now, it's no different than giving a realtor their realtor fees. I mean, they're getting paid. That's how they do business. Then if you do something very similar to, for example, a landscaper who said, hey, you know, I just did such and such a property. It looks like this person is considering selling because he was talking to the owner. Because again, this has happened to me before where the owner said, okay, well, you know what can I do to my house to really make it pop? Because I'm looking to sell it. I'm looking to do this, blah, 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 blah. I really need to sell it quickly because I'm really tight on cash or whatever else. Well, once I find out, I can meet with that owner. Hasn't even gone to the market yet. And then I can have a conversation with that owner and say, look, I understand you're in a tight spot. I can help you out. We can close cash. You know, I can save you the realtor fees. That's 5% in your pocket right now. And then I build that relationship. I close that deal. Then I call the landscaper and I ask him, so where do I want me to send the check? He said, well, what check? I said, well, because of you, I got this opportunity. I understand you're not a realtor, but I'd like to give you a bit of a thank you. And, you know, you send him a check for thousands of dollars. They're going, wow, all I had to do was make an introduction and a phone call and I made this. Now all of a sudden they're going, wait, can we do this again? I'm like, absolutely. And then next thing you know, they're talking to owners on every single property they're doing and you'll get a lot of trash because now they think that every opportunity is great.
Right.
They don't understand real estate.
They don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But you get a lot of trash and then you just educate them a little bit. right? You just educate them on, you know, what is a good deal, right? If you find a property that's in rough shape, or you find someone that's really motivated, someone that's thinking of selling but has, you know, two Ferraris in the driveway is probably not going to be giving a deal on their house, not necessarily. And they're doing well and they're happy and all this. That's not going to lead to anywhere. But you educate them just enough so they send you more quality deals than not. But then you don't only do that with that one landscaper, you do it with everybody. Mm. And then now you're getting emails and phone calls and text messages all over the place. And you end up sorting through a lot of trash at the beginning, but that's just part of the process until you fine tune your systems, where now you're getting mostly the good deals coming in. Mm. And it's constantly that juggle between the deal flow and building those partnerships. And then if you start to get to the point where there's too many deals and not enough money from the partners, then you reach out to the partners and say, look, the deal flow is really coming in right now. I can completely saturate your capability to fund. But if you've got any friends who would like to, you know, get involved in this, I will give you a kickback on every deal I do with them. Mm. So, for example, if I did a deal with your friend and that was a 50-50 deal, I would take a small piece out of my 50% and write you a check. Thank you for the introduction. I did another deal with your friend. Here's another check. Thank you for the introduction. Now you're making money off of the other partnerships. And your friend is not losing. Mm-hmm. They're still getting their 50. I might only get, let's say, 45. But that's 45% I would not be able to get if it wasn't for that introduction. All of these deals I'd have to pass because I don't have the funding for it. Now you might be getting a smaller piece lately, but now because you made that introduction, you're able to basically capture more of the market and close more deals. And this is a model that JT taught me. So this allows me to infiltrate those circles of influences a lot more effectively and a lot quicker. Yeah. And that's how you're able to build multiple partners and scale with multiple partners.
So good. Does it have a name, this strategy? Because I read a lot of stuff. Like finding one or a couple of solid partners and be fast, you know, flip deals quickly.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a name. I mean, I know JT has a name for his model because he named his own model. I'm not really big on naming strategies or gimmicks like that. It's just this is my process and this is how I do it. And it's very organic. Yeah. It's not something you would put in a book necessarily. It really comes down to just being a human being with another human being, you know, building that relationship. And ultimately, that's how real estate works, whether it's a relationship with your partner or a relationship with your landscaper or whoever it may be. You're just building those relationships and the opportunities just come in that way, and make sure that everyone gets a piece of it. There's plenty of meat on a bone for a really good deal. Give something to everyone.
Yeah.
Because the financial incentive is going to ensure that flow does not stop. You don't want it to be a one and done relationship. Like, you think you got me a deal. Great. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
I don't care about this one deal. I want 100 more.
Mm.
And I don't have the time in my day to not only filter through all those deals, but go out hunting for deals. I don't have enough time. Mm. So I need other people to do the hunting for me. And these people are already organically in the field, boots on the ground, going door to door to door to door, just doing a regular job. They're just keeping an extra eye out for opportunities that might fit your model. Mm. And there's a financial incentive for them.
Mm.
And eventually that landscaper finally gets the boat they wanted, that they were hoping to get years down the road. And because of you, after you close 5, 6, 7 deals, they suddenly bought a boat. Well, guess what? That landscaper is now really good friends with you. It's all about relationships. Yeah.
And you taught them how to look for good deals, and you have a good relationship. Who knows where that can go?
You just never know.
Oh, man. We're already over. If you're okay with it, one more to kind of wrap up that little bubble there, which is, so the early deals, you're essentially flipping. You're not really holding because you need that. You need the cash. Or do you refinance too? For those deals, like the duplex or the first small deals?
Yeah. At the beginning, I was selling a lot of my properties. So a lot of my earlier partners just wanted to build a portfolio of rental properties. So we had to refinance them. Now, we didn't go with the banks because they were a little bit too slow. We wanted the credit unions. They tend to be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit quicker. Yes, your interest rates can be slightly higher with a credit union versus a bank, but it's all about how quickly you turn deals around.
Okay.
So for me, that's how I really got started. Now, you know, during the pandemic, of course, like I said, in the first 5-6 months, people were thinking, okay, the market's going to crash. So we just went crazy. Once people realized, wait, it's not crashing. It's actually, you know, growing at rates that we've never seen before, especially in Atlantic Canada. Well, now people were suddenly very interested in real estate, and a lot of the amateur investors that weren't ready to get into a full renovation project or something that involved a lot of work were looking for really good turnkey deals. And they were starting to call me saying, hey, do you have cash flowing properties that are completely done that you're willing to sell? And I would say, no, they're not for sale. And then they'll start offering stupid money for them. And I'm going, well, we can make 10 years worth of revenue in one transaction. I called my partner. I said, we got this offer. And my partner's going, well, I'm looking to hold, but if they're going to offer that kind of stupid money, sure, let's sell. And that's what we did.
Oh,
so a lot of times we sold a lot of these deals off market to smaller scale investors that only wanted to buy 5 or 10 deals. And we constantly went back to them. So when you start doing multi-unit properties like that, especially if you're going to be flipping multi-unit properties, it's not only building a network of people to get the deals to you, but you need to create a network of buyers. And that's the difference between flipping multi-units and flipping single-family homes. If you flip a single-family home, your buyer is probably one and done. Most families don't need two houses. So you sell to a family, thanks, that's it. Your relationship is over, essentially. But when you're dealing with multi-units, you're typically selling to investors. And those investors may not be looking to scale to hundreds of deals like you. They might just be building a small portfolio for retirement. They only want 5 or 10. But you've got a relationship with one buyer that can potentially close very quickly on 5 or 10 deals. And the reason that's important is because it allows you to have very quick exits. I don't have to worry about marketing it. I don't have to worry about waiting for people to come in and have to deal with financing clauses, inspection clauses. If I built that relationship and they know I sell a good product, I can close 5 or 10 with a single investor. If you've got 10 investors that are looking to build small scale and want 10 deals a piece, that's 100 deals that you can turn around at lightning